Okay, guys, today, welcome. Today is, I look forward to this day in yeshiva. To work minimally, I think it goes without saying, where minimally one day on our tefillah is a given. In reality, this should be a springboard to spending a little bit of time every single day working on our tefillah. It's such an important thing. I know they put on the title of the shiur, why do we use a sitter, I think it was. We'll speak about that for a little bit. I want to just give a general idea about tefillah. Hopefully we'll speak about the sitter for a few minutes. I also want to conclude with an idea if we have time, depending on the time. Anyone knows what time it's supposed to go till? 40 minutes? I hope, I wish. Okay, so we'll, and then at the end I want to speak about what happens when our prayers seemingly are not answered. Question I have, I looked into it a little bit, give a bunch of reasons. So the world stands on three things. We're all familiar with this concept. The mission of Avos says, Torah Avodah Gemilas Chasadim, right? Torah Avodah. So Torah, we spend all day working on Torah, generally in yeshiva, beautiful. Chesed, the biggest chesed we could do is to someone who's close to you. People think, this is also tremendous, you need to become the head of a business, something huge in order to do chesed, a big organization. The closest chesed you could do is with your family, here in yeshiva, to your roommates, to your friends. We work on those a lot in our day-to-day in yeshiva. The middle one, avodah, so that stands for literally the karbanos. We don't have karbanos nowadays, so what do? We swap it out with tefillah. So I was always bothered by this. It's like, why do we swap it out for tefillah? It's like, what's the next big thing? I don't know, I'll throw in tefillah. What's the connection between karbanos and tefillah that we say that the avodah of the big three pillars, we're going to say is now tefillah? So the word karbanos comes from the word karov, to get close, to bring you close to something. So what is tefillah all about? Tefillah is all about building your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's all about you getting close to Hashem. So it makes perfect sense. What are we going to swap out for karbanos, karov, get close? It's the next thing that really brings you close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what tefillah is. So we start off, the Maharal asks a beautiful question. He says, what gives us the right to even daven? Who says you can daven for them? We had Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur in Yeshiva. It was important. We locked in. It's one of the highlights of the year. The beginning really kicks off the year. And we say our year is set for the whole year. Everything's set for the whole year. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to tell you how much money you made. He's going to tell you what scores you're going to get, what your family's going to be like. You know, COVID was decided last Rosh Hashanah. Was going to be this whole year. Was turned upside down. It was decided already. So if Hashem puts things in stone, what gives you the right to daven? Am I allowed to ask for more money? Am I allowed to ask for health? God forbid someone's not feeling well. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that on Rosh Hashanah. You're not going to feel well. What gives you the right to daven? This is the Maharal's question. It's an awesome question. There's many answers given. The very simple answer that I want to share is that that's true. Everything is set in stone. Besides for anything you daven for. Tefillah has the ability to take anything that was set in stone from Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, erase it, and rewrite it. That's what it is. It's set in stone. We say you get the seal on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Besides for if you daven for it. It's the one exception to the rule. You could just imagine, think about it for a second. You tell your kids, you know, you put it, this is it. We're going to bed at 7 o'clock. That's it. Bedtime is 7 o'clock. The kid says, Daddy, please give me 5 more minutes. Come on. Who's not giving in over there, right? You say, but you said it so. Okay. A kid has a special way to erase something from a parent and rewrite it. You come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're daven for it. Even though it was set in stone, you're able to rewrite it. The special power of a human in general is his ability to speak. Is his ability to speak. You guys all know Chumash Kold. So let's learn a pasuk together. In Bereishis, Perek Beis, Pasuk Zion says, Vayitzer Hashem Elokim. It says, it's an Adam offer min Adama, Vayipach Pa'apov, Nishmas Chaim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us as a living creature. That's what he created man as. Someone who's a living creature. Rashi explains, Af Behim Achaya Nikru Nefesh Chaya. Even an animal is called a living creature. What makes human special? The pasuk says, what makes human special? They're a living creature. They're a living creature. So Rashi points out, just a few psukim earlier, it said that by animals also. Animals are also a living creature. But Rashi continues and says, Ach, zu shel adam chayesh bekulam. They're the most living. Why? Shel netoseif bo deya vidibor. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave humans two things over animals. The ability to think and the ability to speak. What makes a human unique? The fact that he could speak. That's all humans in the world. We can use our speech. I love talking about the power of speech. It's not for right now. But our ability to speak. What makes a Jew unique as a human? Now the humans put themselves in a different category. The Jews are even in a different category from the humans. What's that? It's based off another pasuk also. The pasuk says, "Akol kol Yaakov hayadayim yidei Esav." When Yaakov comes to Yitzchak and he puts on the sleeves of Esav, he's all hairy, right? And he comes, but he's speaking like Yaakov. Yitzchak says to him, "Akol kol Yaakov yidayim yidei Esav." Your voice sounds like Yaakov, but your hands feel like Esav. There's great lessons learned from this pasuk. One of the lessons is that just like the hands of a non-Jew, of an Esav, can do things, could build things, could break things, could do anything he wants, that's the power of a voice of a Jew. When you daven, it's not just a nice thing. Oh, it's a nice thing. It changes the reality. So my hands can pick up this mechitza right here in front of me. When I daven, I could physically change the world also. Hakol kol Yaakov, the voice of a Jewish people, is like what? Yedayim yedei Esav. It's like the hands of an Esav. The voice of a Jew. So all what separates humans from animals is their voice. What separates the Jews from all other humans is our ability to use our voice for tefillah. Tefillah is this different world. It can erase the gezerah and start something new. To even add to it, this is something that I think I just shared in my shiur the other day, but it says, and some of the guys here, I think Rabbi Kunstler's shiur, is learning Tainus. So the Gemara in Tainus says, all in the first daf, it says, Menolon tefillah, from where do we know tefillah? Where do you know that you should daven? So Titania quotes a pasuk in Devarim that we all know. You should serve Hashem with all your heart. What is this? What is this avoda that you should do with all your heart? This is tefillah. Serving Hashem with all your heart, right? We say every single day in Shema, you should serve Hashem with all your heart. What is this referring to? This is referring to the concept of tefillah. Tefillah is a service like no other. There's the way I like to think about it is I love the fact that we call Hashem Avinu Malkeinu. Our father comes first, Avinu, then he's the Malkeinu. So imagine for a second there's two boys. A father has two sons, and he's the king. And he has all the means in the world. The first older son turns 16 years old. His father throws him a big sweet 16. He comes in the end, he said, presents in front of everyone, I want to give my 16-year-old son a gift. He walks in, he gives him the golden credit card. You can spend, you don't have to tell me whatever you want. Here it is, take it, go, whatever you want. The guy goes out, he's buying Lamborghinis, he's buying houses, he's buying whatever he wants. It's the golden credit card. The younger brother's 14, he's like, I cannot wait till my sweet 16. So his sweet 16 obviously happened during COVID. He had like a little small party, barely anyone there. His father comes, I want to give you the sweet 16 birthday present. And the guy's like, here comes my golden credit card. And he whips out a nice $10 bill. He says, here's your $10 bill. Don't use it all at once. That's what the king says. And the son is like, are you kidding me? And his brother's like, check out this guy. He's like, nah. And he's just like, by the way, if you need, I can put something on my golden credit card for you. And the younger brother so says, I'm also the prince. And the father says, but wait, there's one caveat to this $10 bill. Just bring me the receipt so I know what you spent it on. I want to know what you spent it on. And the brother says, this is not fair. And the king says back to me, you know what, you're right, it's not fair. I'll make you a deal. And I'm a king, I'm changing my gezerah. I am going to give my son $10 every month for the rest of his life. Everyone's like, okay. He's like, so every month, the kid comes back, $10, gives him, father says, please hand me the receipts. He looks at him, oh, you spent $2.50 at the pizza store, you went bowling, $10, ooh, $11, where did you get that extra dollar from? I had to get a job. Got a job, you're working $11, every month he comes coming back and forth. The older son has not returned home in years. Doesn't he? He's on a yacht, he's vacationing, whatever. The younger son starts to build such a close relationship with the king. The king knows. He has $10. He knows what's important to him. It was so important to him. He had to go buy this one thing because it was so important to him. He only had $10. He had to allocate his money. And every month he comes back and he checks in with the king and he shows him his receipts. He shows him what's important to him. And they build a really close bond. While the person, the older son, who has whatever he wants, never showed back up to the castle again. This is what tefillah is. Tefillah is the guarantee. Because Baruch Hu can give us everything. He doesn't need us to ask. You don't think he knows what's going on in your mind? Of course he does. But he cares about you. So he says, here, come back to me every day, three times a day. Tell me what's going on in your mind. You're having a hard time in shir? So daven for it. Let's talk it out. I'm your father. I'm also the king. I have the ability to give you anything you want. That's true. But I want to know about it. You want to tell me thank you? I got a big soccer game today. You know, come on, tell me. Big game today. Tell him. God, help me win. Afterwards, say thank you for giving me the ability to play. This is how you build a relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. He wants you to keep coming back to his palace. He wants you to really, really feel like you have his sense. The idea is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you. He wants you. And how do you get close to him? Karov, through tefillah. There's an amazing Gemara. There's an amazing Gemara. And Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. I really want to read the whole thing inside. I'll go bits and parts here. Rabbi Elazar ben Dudai, Shelo enicha zona achas bo'olam shelo ba'aleh. There was not one prostitute in the whole world. The Rabbi Elazar ben Dudai, probably at that time it was just called Elazar ben Dudai, was not with. And he decided at the end of his life he wanted to do tshuva. He felt like, I can't do it. So he starts going and asking anyone and everything for help. Halech v'yashav bin shnei harim. He went between two mountains. And what does he do? V'gvos, the mountains, Amar harim v'gvos. Bakshu alai rachamim. He says, please ask for mercy on me. You guys are great mountains. Hashem made you so great. Daven to Hashem on my behalf. And they say, hey, Bakhtin, we have our own issues. We can't daven for you. So he goes, Amar Shemayim V'aretz. He goes to the heaven to the earth. He says, Bakshu alai rachamim, daven for me for mercy. And they say, we have our own issues. And then comes Amar Chama V'levana. He goes to the sun and the moon. Same thing. And then he goes to the stars and the mazalos, the stars and all the different constellations. All the thing, they all say the same thing. And what happens at the end of the Gemara? He's left with no more. He says, Amar Ein Davar Tali Elofbi. This matter is only dependent on myself. Rosho Bein Berachav, he puts his head between his thighs and he just starts screaming, crying out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. At that moment came a baskel, a heavenly voice, and said, you're forgiven for everything. He was wrong in his mentality. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want the greats to daven for him. He wants you. He wants your tefillah. It's true, you can go to Reb Chaim and get a bracha. That's awesome. If you could, totally do it. You should go, you like to daven by a kever. Go daven by a kever. But what does Hashem want more than anything? He wants your tefillos. No matter how big of a sin you may have done or mistakes or how many tefillos you missed before this. Rabbi Elazar ben Dudai, he wants everyone else to daven for him. Only when he turned to himself is when he got forgiven. There's a story also, I apologize for the guys I shared this with, but about the Kotzker Rebbe. The Kotzker Rebbe, he would give people wait in line to give for him to get itza, to give brachos, whatever it was. And one time his sister needed help with something. So his sister comes in, they let her cut the line. And she comes in and she's talking to her brother. He's the cut's grave, but at the end of the day, it's brother-sister relationship. And he says, I need your help. And he says, sorry, there's nothing I can do for you. Hundreds of random people coming in for brachas. You're giving brachas for me, you're not going to give me a bracha. I'm your sister. He's like, there's nothing I can do for you. She storms out in frustration. She slams the door. She says, Kadosh Baruch Hu, my own brother won't help me. And the Kotzker Rebbe jumps out of his desk and he opens the door. He says, okay, now come in. Don't rely on me. Call out to Hashem yourself. That's it. That was the message of the Kotzker Rebbe. And then he gave her a bracha. He said, you have to rely on your own ability. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to change it. Once you have it, why do we start with tefillah in the morning? Why do we start with tefillah? Because once you have this closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, once you understand that Hashem wants you, then the rest of the day flows. You're excited to learn. If you start off with a good davening, you start because I just built this connection. I just built this, like, it's it. I love baseball. The first time I went with my wife to a baseball game, and I'm not sure she really enjoyed the nuances. I was trying to explain to her what an infield fly rule was. Right overhead. So, like, it's like, she knows I care about it. And then she starts to learn a little bit about it. And now we go to a game, I can't control it. She's screaming at the umps. Oh, last game I went to, she got kicked out of. But yeah, that didn't happen, but it'd be a great bit. But the idea is that once you start to feel close to somebody and you want to connect to them, so therefore even the things that maybe are harder to relate to in the beginning, they all start to become easier. You want to work on your midos? If you feel close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, your midos will start to work better. You're learning everything. Once you have this connection, this relationship to somebody, then everything starts to flow much easier. Now I want to talk about the two big things. Number one is, why do we use a sitter? If the whole idea is building a relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I shouldn't need a sitter. Imagine this for a moment. you go on Mirtz Hashem, all you guys should go on dates soon and get married soon. And Kosh Baruch should bless you to find the right one for you at the right time. Imagine you show up to the first date like this. Here's my papers. What's your name? What school do you go to? How many siblings do you have? Oh, sorry, that was the next question. And then you're just like reading off a piece of it. Is that any way to date a person? Of course not. Imagine at your wedding night. That's what you're doing also. It's like, it's not how you have built. The whole idea is building a relationship with Hashem. Why should it be a set text? He doesn't know. He didn't know Modani was coming first. He didn't know. What's pshat with a sitter? So I want to take you back to last week's parsha. Listen to this. Last week's parsha, it said like this. It says that Yaakov Avinu gave brachas to all the different kids. He gave brachas to all the different kids. And to Yosef HaTzadik, he gives him a little bit of an extra bracha. He says, I'm going to give you a portion. Everyone's giving out portions, different things. He says, I'm going to give you the land of Shechem also. It was an additional bracha. And he says, the land of Shechem, which I acquired, listen to these two words, Becharbi Ubekashti, with my sword, my bow and arrow. That's what he says to him. So imagine Yaakov Avinu, long white beard. It's like a picture of Chaim Kanievsky, but now Yaakov Avinu is like coming out with his sword and his bow and arrow, and he conquers the whole land by himself. So what does Unklis says? It doesn't literally mean Becharbi Uvekashti. He says Betzalosi Vebaosi, which are two ways of saying tefillah. He acquired it with tefillah. So now that makes sense. Yaakov Avinu didn't go out and fight. He acquired it with tefillah. What in the world is the connection between a sword and a bow and arrow and tefillah? It's a nice shot, Unklis, but Unklis is like art scroll into Aramaic. He's just translating the words. He says the words sword and bow and arrow mean tefillah. Where's the connection? So listen to this. There's Rabbi Kalish Shlita explains as follows. I think it's an idea from elsewhere also, but I've heard it from him. There's two types of tefillah. There's the sword and there's the bow and arrow. The certain types of tefillah work no matter who you are or what you're doing. That is a special, special level of tefillah that was established by the Anshei Knesset Gedolah. The Anshei Knesset Gedolah are great Rabbanim. They knew the law, the love song of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They knew how like you can get into his heart. So that's the sitter. You show up to Davi, it's like you have the secret passwords to get in. You have like, I could be in any mood. You put on some of my favorite songs that we start the shir with every single day. It's like, it doesn't, like, oh, I'm ready to go. I'm fired up. It's like those are the secret words. The Anshei Knesset Gedolah through Ruach HaKodesh, they knew about it. Then there's a second aspect of tefillah. And that is he wants your heart, like we explained, Rabbi Elazar ben Dudoy, the Kutzker's sister. He wants your heart. And that is you could be walking in Duv Divani, and you could just say a prayer to Hashem. It could be Mil Shema Kolenu. People think davening means Shachris Mil Chamar. It's false. It's false. That's really three big times to daven every day. Don't get me wrong. Davening means talking to Hashem. There's two aspects of tefillah. A sword, I don't care who's holding a sword. If my 3-year-old daughter is walking around with a sword like this, if it hits you, it's going to hurt you. A sword in itself is dangerous. It's pointy. If any weakest hit will hurt you, stronger hit will hurt you more. That is the Anshei Knesset Gedolah sitter. It doesn't matter who you are, what your kavanah is. If you throw it out there, it is so sharp and powerful, it automatically penetrates the heavens. What's a bow and arrow? Bow and arrow is so powerful, but it's only as powerful as you pull it back. If you pull it back far, it goes far. If you pull it back a teeny bit, it needs all your effort. That's the second aspect of tefillah. That's the personal tefillah. If you show up, God, what's up? You leave. You didn't pull back your bow and arrow. If you dive into Hashem, he understands English perfectly. If you dive into Hashem and you tell him what's going on in your life, you're pulling back and back and back your bow and arrow. And then you let it go, that pierces the heavens. So why do we have a sitter? Because that's half the battle. The sitter is telling you, no matter what you say, whether you understand the words or not, imagine if you understood the words. Again, a sword with more power is going to be more effective. No matter what is effective, it pierces the heavens. But don't think that that's the only way to connect to Hashem. Hashem, the other way is personally. And that's why it says, Unklis makes perfect sense now. Becharbi uvekashti. He acquired, he conquered the land of Shechem with his sword and his bow and arrow. What is that? The two forms of prayer. He davened, he opened up whatever it was at that time that Yaakov had, the set text, and he also davened to Hashem from his heart. Both those types of prayers are the types of prayers that we're supposed to be connecting with Hashem. So we should work at the sitter. Even if you don't get it, say it. I'm telling you it works. If you read the translation, you know, you could spend 5 minutes a day for the rest of the year, just not even on a tefillah sefer, just on the reading the actual art scroll translation, and you just invest it in the rest of your life. The rest of your life. It's amazing. But I don't want you to forget, to me sometimes in some ways, it's hard for me to say more important because I'm not shaking the goal, but just as important is your own personal tefillah. And believing that what you're saying is going to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Listen to this awesome story. There was a country once upon a time that didn't have rain. Didn't have rain. It's a mashal. They didn't have rain. And so what happens is as follows. They call out, each state in the country is saying their own thing of Tehillim. It's not working. Then they gather as a region. They bring 100,000 to MetLife Stadium. And everyone is davening together and still nothing going on. So all the rabbis from the whole country, they say, we need to gather together. They build this massive stadium. All the Jews in the whole country come in. You have a big dais, and the Rav of the whole country is going to lead them. And he gets up there, they rent it out, and everyone's ready to go. And he gets up to the podium, and he starts shuckling. He starts shuckling. Silent. They're waiting for him to start the tehillim. They need rain. They mamish have no food to eat. And he's just shuckling away. And he's shuckling away. And he's not saying anything. And one of his shamishes come over and say, Rebbe, okay? Rebbe, okay? He covers the mic. Yeah, I'm okay. I need a few minutes. And he's preparing. And he does one last look to the audience, the Rebbe, and he walks off the podium. That's it. He's like, I'm done. I don't understand. We just gathered the Jews from all over the world. All over the world to right here. And it's like, he's like, I can't do it today. And he says, why? He gets back on the podium and explains, you know why our tefillahs aren't answered today for rain? Nobody brought an umbrella. If you believed our tefillahs were going to be answered, someone would have brought an umbrella. It's powerful. He said, how could you daven for rain and not bring an umbrella? If you knew it was going to rain, you would have brought an umbrella. No one here thinks their tefillahs are going to be answered. When you daven, you must understand, your tefillahs are going straight to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every morning, show up with your umbrella. Every morning, come, I'm here to play. This is it. I know what I'm answering. I'm asking for something. I know Hashem answers. We're going to speak about it in a minute if we have more time. I don't know what time we're really supposed to end. But if we have more time, we're going to speak about what happens when Hashem seemingly doesn't answer, but every prayer is there. So if you're going to show up to davening, understand that your tefillah, whether it's the type from the Anshei Knesset Gadolah, the sword, or whether it's the bow and arrow, the personal tefillah that's coming, Kadosh Baruch Hu is answering that tefillah.
15 minutes?
Okay, beautiful. So here we go. So let's come to the last part. I'm always bothered by this question, and if you're not, you have an extreme emunah. What happens when somebody, when it seems like you really die, and I'm not talking about for your soccer game or your basketball game, which by the way is also important. I'm talking about like chas v'shalom, someone is sick. We just have gone through it as a nation in the world, the Jewish people in the smaller thing in the world. We're going through a very hard time. Thousands of people are dead. Everyone knows somebody who's been affected by corona, right? And this is one, this will hopefully come and go relatively soon, and life goes on, and people have big things in their life, needs, desires, wants. You daven to Hashem, sometimes they're answered, and sometimes they seemingly didn't. What happened? Where did the tefillah go? I'm bothered by this question. I'm bothered by it. So I came up with, I think, 4 or 5 answers here. See what I wrote down. 4 answers, and I want to share with you. Number one is based off of Gemara in Yevamos, Adas Samach Dalet. Gemara writes, if you noticed, every single one of our Yimahos were barren. Every single one of them had a hard time having kids. There is no greater pain than a couple trying to have kids and unable to do it. And you say, like, why them of all people? So Gemara explains, very simply, maybe you've heard of this before, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu desires the prayer of the righteous. He wants to hear the prayer. So it wasn't that he wanted to make them barren, but he wanted them to daven to him. So sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he's saying, I want to answer you, and I'm going to answer you, but I need a little bit more. He wants to hear our tefillah over and over again. Sometimes that's just a second tefillah. Shachas and Mincha. Sometimes it's 2 years. Sometimes it's 20 years. And sometimes, we'll see, there's other reasons why he doesn't answer you. But he wants to hear their tefillahs. They're all barren. Some of them took shorter. Some of them took longer. But the Gemara in Yevamos says, there's a beautiful, I saw this in one of the Koran sitters. In camp, we give out a sitter. In the back of the sitter, I think I have one down sitting. I want to see. There's amazing, I'm not sure who wrote it. I should have checked who wrote it before I quoted it. Checked who wrote it, but there's this sitter that's just great pshatim on tefillah. And one of these guy asked a painter. He says, wow, that's the most beautiful masterpiece I've ever seen. He says, how long does it take you to paint something like that? So the painter says back, it takes me 10 hours. but 40 years to master being able to paint like that. And that's tefillah sometimes. Tefillah might take us 30 minutes, 20 minutes, depending on the tefillah, 10 minutes, 5 minutes. But whatever it is, but it could take 20 years, 40 years to master being able to daven properly. Because Baruch Hu is saying, I want your tefillahs. I might not answer you right away. I want you to keep coming back, keep working on your tefillah. And that's sometimes when it's seemingly HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not answering. He just says, I want a little bit more. He wants to get close. He doesn't say, the Gemara doesn't write, he doesn't answer the ones who he doesn't like. He wants the tefillahs of the righteous ones. That's answer number one. Answer number two, when it seemingly doesn't answer, is sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes the answer is no. We might all have a moment in our life, I can think personally, as you get older, where you felt like you really wanted something. You really wanted something, and it doesn't go your way. You're like, wow, that is so frustrating. Like, I really wanted to get into this college, into this school. I really wanted this, I really wanted that. And you realize, like, oh, it doesn't always work out the way you wanted it to. And then you look back, and you're like, wow, that would have been so much worse for me. It would have been so much worse for me. I just heard a story yesterday. I wasn't planning on saying it. I don't remember all the names. The name was like this. The name, Rabbi Weber, he was on a base stand by like the Kutzker Rebbe. I'm not exactly sure. I don't remember all the details, but it was such a good story. I'll share with you anyway. Happened was he took the same bus every single day from his house to yeshiva, every single day. He never ever had to wait for a bus because it was full. So it shows up, he would go on. Today, the first bus shows up, it's full. He's a mensch, he's a bar midos. He doesn't get on the bus. He waits for the next one. The second one comes full. The third one comes full. He's an old man. Never had to wait for the second bus. Three buses go by, it's fully. Fourth bus comes up, he gets on the bus. He sits down next to a younger guy. The younger guy recognizes him right away. He's like, you're Rabbi Weber from Basin. He's like, oh, you have a relationship with the Kutzker Rebbe. I think it was the Kutzker. I need to check. He's like, tell me some stories. He's like, okay, I'll tell you some stories. And he starts telling him stories, different things. And all of a sudden, the Kutzker Rebbe's famous stories from the Holocaust. He starts telling about the Holocaust. So he says, there's this group of Jews. You guys are familiar with this? There's this group of Jews who were working for the Nazis, right? They would be the cop called capos, right? They were very good. So they were kind of helping the Nazis. They would tell the Jews what to do, and they would even be them in charge to judge and not saying anything. He said there were some of them who wouldn't listen. And he says the Kutzker Rebbe always speaks about this one Jew. This one Jew, and he says his name, whatever his name was, he says his name, Avram, let's call him Avram. He says he was a capo. But what happened was is not only would he never ever hurt a Jew, he would help them out. Whether they had to do work, he would get down and do it with them. He would get them extra food. He was risking his life day after day to help out another Jew. The next day, Rabbi Weber gets a phone call. He says, I want to invite you to an engagement party of my daughter. So right away, he's a famous rabbi. He's like, I don't really recognize the name, but like I probably had, you know, maybe asked me questions before. He goes to the engagement party. And he says, Mazel Tov, you're the Shadchan. He's like, I think you're mistaken. Weber, common Jewish name, but I think you're mistaken. He's like, no. You know how you were sitting on that bus yesterday with that boy? I was actually the seat behind you. And my daughter was dating this another kid, another guy very seriously. But I heard, and it really bothered me, that this boy's grandfather was a capo in World War II. And it really bothered me. And we sat down as a family, and my daughter understood, and we were going to break up the shidduch. And he said, you started telling the stories, and you started speaking about this boy's grandfather. And you said he was the one capo who wouldn't listen to anybody else. And he was the one Jew who stood up to everybody. And even though they risked his whole life to be a good Jew, he said that was his grandfather. So we called right back the boy and said, we want the shidduch, and here we are, the engagement, and you are the shadchan. This guy, Rabbi Weber, had no idea why the first time in his life, he three times the buses were full. And he gets onto the fourth bus. And he gets off, and the rest of the day, he goes about his own business. He showed up late to yeshiva that day. He had no idea why. But the answer was, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was setting it all up. Sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu says no to us. But we don't know why, but we need to understand this is what's best for us. And sometimes the answer becomes clear. I have this debate with my daughter every week. We're here for Shabbos, so you guys can all meet them. And I hope we can get here with the lockdown. But she loves the Havdalah candle. She loves it. It's cool. The lights are off. Trust me, I do not sing. You do not want to hear that. But I'm saying Havdalah, the fire is burning. She wants to touch it. She's enamored by this beautiful flame. And think about it. It's a perfect example. She's 3 years old. I love her to death. I am smarter than her. And what happens is like this. She wants to touch it. I say, you can't touch it. She's like, why? Just 1 second. What's the beat? I know if she touches the flame, she's going to burn her hand. Right? That's dangerous. She, at 3 years old, sees something that looks cool. We do it once a week only. Everyone's gathered together. It's nice. It's fun. The lights are off. It looks cool. She wants to touch it. She cannot comprehend. She cannot comprehend that that's dangerous for her. So I'm not saying no because I dislike her. On the contrary, I'm saying no because I love her so much. When she's my age, or I hope way before that, she'll understand that fire is dangerous for her. That's exactly what happens when Hashem says no. It's like so obvious to him that this is not what we need right now in our lives. And we're like a 3-year-old. Please, no, give it to me. No, give it to me. It's like, relax. I got you. This is what you need. So that's answer number two, is we don't always see the big picture, but understand that Hashem Baruch Hu is taking care of you. The third is an unbelievable answer. Sometimes the answer is the tefillah's answer, but not for you. We're in this together. Right? I like to say this about a yeshiva. We're a yeshiva. We're in this together. There's no me and there's no you. We're in this together. So we have to all bring our individual talents. But at the same time, we are a nation together. So there's an amazing true story where Shlomo Zalman Orbach, who is the Rosh Yeshiva, the Gadol Hador, the Rav of almost all of Eretz Yisrael, still paskins like him. He's my Rebbe's Rebbe. My Rebbe's Rebbe. He said when he was on his deathbed, thousands and thousands of Jews from everywhere. It's like, you know, like those classic, like unfortunately it only happens at a tragedy, where all Jews come together, like we'll go to the Kotel and daven together. Everyone went to go daven for him. And I don't know, I can't remember, I meant to check up his name, his mom's name, but everyone was davening for Shlomo Zalman Ben, I'm just going to say that, I don't know if this is Ben Rivka. Okay, everyone in the world is davening for him. And he died. So someone asked, where did all those tefillos go? Where did all those tefillos go? There was an article that was printed years later, true story, about a boy in Texas who was on his deathbed. And they said, that's it. Bringing the parents, bringing the grandparents, bringing the siblings. Young boy, that's it. He's done. He's got a few more days to live. And he ends up making this crazy, miraculous recovery. And the doctors can't explain it. And you want to know the answer? His name is Shlomo Zalman Ben Rivka. Same name as Shlomo Zalman Orbach. Again, I'm not sure if it was Rivka, but same last name. So how does boy make a miracle recovery? Thousands of Jews. So Hashem said, this Reb Shlomo Zalman is not ready. He's ready to return back to me. That's it. But this Shlomo Zalman Ben Rivka, you guys daven for it, that's where all your tefillos are going to go. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not ignoring you. Sometimes no. Sometimes he just wants more. Sometimes it's going to go somewhere else. But every tefillah is going to be answered. The last, fourth and final reason for where your tefillos go when they seemingly are not answered is based off a Gemara. I only heard the first minute of Rabbi Rublowski, Shlita, but I heard he quoted the Gemara in Shabbos and the Gemara in Brachos, Daf Lamed Beis. I don't know if he mentioned this idea or not, but I heard he quoted it. So it says that at this point in life, after the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, the gates of tefillah are close. You can't get in anymore. Can't get in. Besides, for one way, the Gemara writes, Shari Dama'a Lo Nanalo, that if you cry, the gates of tears are still open. The gates of tears are still open. So it's like, okay, that's a nice thing, maybe some people reach that level on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Your normal standard Wednesday afternoon mincha, I don't see too many people crying around the room. So what is that? Where do our tefillos go? Where do our tefillos go? So there's a sefer that many of you guys know, Praying with Fire, right? It's a beautiful sefer. It's close with Yonasan Eibish. And he says the following idea. He says that the word bechi in Hebrew, to cry, that's what it means to cry, is Gematria 32, which is the same Gematria as Lev, as heart. He says, in today's generation, how do you get through the gates of tears? Not with actual tears. We're not able to do that. Wednesday afternoon mincha, we're not doing that. But can we give our heart for tefillah? If you come with your heart, for tefillah, then the gates are open. So why is sometimes seemingly, maybe a Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't answer, do we give our heart to the tefillah? All the gates are locked. Only if you come with your heart. It's nice, it's cute. It's also on Daf Lamed Beis. Leif, it's also on Daf Lamed Beis. Maybe it's a hidden message, this Gemara. It's Gemara Brachos. I thought of this the other day. It's the Gemara Brachos. The idea is, boys, is sometimes a Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't answer right away. Are we coming with our heart? Are we really, really explaining to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is what I need? Are you talking to him like a father? Or you're just trying to get the job done? Trying to get the job done. Our Rosh Hashiva, Rabbi David, I heard this story. I wanted to confirm it with him, but he's not here today. I heard about him that one time he was visiting YU. If he was like in America, I feel like he'd definitely be a YU Rosh Hashiva. He's like, he has that connection. He's visiting YU. And he was walking around with another YU Rosh Hashiva. So I didn't hear the name of the other person. I think it makes sense. So they're going in and this Rosh Hashiva is showing Rabbi David all the different things that are going in YU. Look how great it is, guys are learning here. He brings into a room, a Rebbe's giving a shir to 10 guys, like a geschmack, and he in shir. These other guys are learning Mishnah Berurah. These guys are going over Hilchos Tefillah, all these different things. And he opens up to the next room, there's Rav Moshe Weinberger. And you have like 200 guys packed in, singing together. And so the Rosh Hashiva says, Rabbi David says, I don't get it. I don't get it. Rabbi Weinberger is amazing. Why does this Rosh Hashiva get 10 people? This Rosh Hashiva gets 5 people. And Rav Moshe Weinberger gets 200 people sitting and talking to him. So Rabbi David says to this Rosh Hashiva, he says, there's a big difference. You talk to their mind, he talks to their heart. As I said, when you talk to someone's heart, you mamish get in there. Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to see your heart. When you bring your heart to tefillah, then Kadosh Baruch Hu will understand. So just to do a little quick chazal, we have to understand the power of tefillah. Tefillah can wipe away everything. Tefillah could change even the decrees that were upon us. It's the special ability of a human to talk. It's the special ability of a Jew to daven. And that's what it is. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is waiting for our tefillos, but he wants your tefillos. He's not going to give you the credit card. He wants you to keep coming back every single day. And just like Rabbi Elazar ben Dudai, when he had no one to turn to, what does he say? He asked for the mountains, he asked for the stars. He say, no, we want you. He daven, comes out of Baskel, you're forgiven. Just like the Kutzker sister. The Kutzker sister, you wanted a bracha. First you daven, then you go get your brachas. Kadosh Baruch Hu wants you in your tefillah. Why are we davening with the sitter? Well, there's two aspects of the davening. The first one is the becharbi bekashti, the sword, that's the sitter. No matter who you are, no matter where you're handing, it's sharp. It's dangerous. When you come with the sitter, you're lethal. But on the other hand, there's the bow and arrow. Make sure you're connecting personally. Pull it back, make it work, and it goes flying. And last question is why sometimes is it seemingly our tefillahs are not answered? We give four different answers. The first answer was the concept of that Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to hear our tefillos. He wants to hear our tefillos. So even though he doesn't answer right away, he's going to his base of the Gemara and the Yavamas Daf Samach Daled, that all the imamos were barren. And then it comes to sometimes he's just saying, no, he knows better. I know better than my daughter when it comes to touching fire. He knows better. Sometimes you're diving to get on the bus, you miss the first, second, third, but the fourth one comes. There's a reason why. He knows better. The next one is going to be that sometimes your prayers get directed in a different answer. Now with Shlomo Zaman, just Shlomo Zaman. And the fourth and final is a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants your heart. So sometimes it seems like your tefillah is not answer. Don't just bring your mouth, but bring your heart. Boys, a Kadosh Baruch Hu should bless us to really work on our tefillah. It should be a stepping stone for the rest of our life. Amen.